At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. What is up? We are back with another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy, on the road editions. And as always, I'm here with my brother and my co-host, Mr. Jake B.
I want you to be nice.
Okay. And also, we have a very special guest here today, Mr. David Bradshaw.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Bradshaw is on this tour with us. He is the tour stage manager, which is a pretty crazy job because you technically don't really work for one of the bands. You're kind of working for all the bands, and your job is to kind of make sure that all the bands are getting their fair space on stage, their fair amount of time for sound check or whatever's needed, and trying to kind of fit everybody's needs and make everybody happy, which can be a very tough job.
And this is a big tour, real quick for the listeners if they don't know, which most of you do at this point. This is a big, huge summer tour with the Dirty Heads, 311, the Interrupters. These are all three bands that have songs on the radio, big, big bands that have been touring for a long time, and two other opening acts, Bikini Trill and the Dreamers. Five bands, three of them are big bands, multiple trailers, multiple buses, big stage setups. That's a lot of shit on one stage, and you got to make all those people happy. So Bradshaw's got a bit of a job.
It's like herding cats. I mean, it's proverbial herding cats.
Herding cats.
Yeah, try. I've never heard that before.
But
try and herd. Think about that.
Try and herd one cat.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's exactly 85 cats on this tour.
If a cat does not want you to pick it up, you're not picking up that cat.
Exactly.
Now imagine 85 of them. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Yikes. So maybe take us through a quick little day of yours. What does it entail?
We're on the deck by 7:30 a.m. To chalk out for the rigging, for everything that's going to fly out, all the light trusses. I get all my labor in. On average, it's between 30 and 50 people a day, local crew, not counting who's with us. And then getting them broken into departments, loading in all the bands throughout the day for line check, sound check before doors. Once doors hit, we got to follow that schedule and get them on and off, pack it up and do it again.
So it never really ends.
No, I'm like 7 a.m. till 1:30 a.m.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is a long day.
That leaves 6 hours to potentially sleep.
It's like 4 hours to drink and decompress, an hour to sit in the shower and cry, and do it all over again.
You have to have that decompressing time.
Yeah.
You can't just go straight from work to sleep, wake up, work, sleep. You can't. No. You will go crazy. You have to have that time afterwards to be able to just be a normal person, relax, have a drink, talk to your boys. You have to have that time. And it's like, but when you start that time at 1:30, it can very easily turn to 4 or 5 in the morning, like in a blink of a fucking eye.
Yeah, that's kind of why we started the Leisure Committee. I mean, it's during the day.
Tell us about, so he started this thing on this tour, which is awesome for the crew guys who are just working their ass off all day and summer tour. So we spent, you know, a good month or so on like the East Coast and whatnot, which is in the summer.
And the
brutally
South.
Hot. And the yeah. South.
We were in Florida for 3 shows and Texas for 3 shows in August. Hottest month of the year, hottest places you can be in America.
We've had, around 30 shows so far, and 2 of them have been inside. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that means the rest of these shows have been outdoors, 100 degrees out. A lot of the places super humid. And these guys are putting in, you know, fucking 16-hour days or whatever. Started the Leisure Committee for these dudes. And explain us a little bit of what that is.
How it started is there's 4 or 5 of us that once the last band sound checks, usually have like an hour to an hour and a half before the first band hits. So that's our time to either shower or eat. But we need to break the day. So I go on Google Earth ahead of time and try to find a swimming pool or a body of water. And we do whatever we can to get there. And we even if it's 15 minutes in the water, it kind of just gets us going. So it's turned into a joke with all the artists and crew that the four or five of us every day, who knows where we're going to appear, and you're going to see our picture with the leisure committee meeting at the beach or a hotel or an apartment complex or a theme park.
That is awesome. Can we start this? Can we make this a thing? If you're out there and you're listening and you've got like a grueling job or whatever it is you're doing, and you've got some boys or friends or your girlfriends at your work or whatever, and you guys are start the leisure committee there and just do something fun in the middle of the day to break up your day. If you're at work all day, every day, and you're just stuck in a routine, but you know you've got that hour in that day where you can do whatever you want.
Yep.
Start a little leisure community in your community and start posting this and hashtagging leisure community.
Dude, it could be a tree out behind your work that has shade. That's
you,
it.
You meet guys there fucking for 5 minutes there at lunch. And you all smoke a bowl.
Right.
Oh,
and
wow.
And you talk. And here's that's your leisure committee, and you do it every day. Guess what? That's going to start to be something that you just look forward to every day. It's going to break up your day when normally you just on your lunch, you just go pick up fast food or whatever and head back to the office. Like, no, now you got your leisure committee meeting and you cannot wait for that.
Something to look forward to. Yeah. And that's what it's turned into on this tour is we're like by noon, like, oh man, 4 hours, let's get these bands on. We're going to hit the beach or we're going to hit the pool.
That's awesome. Yeah. I absolutely love that.
Does it have its own Instagram or is it a hashtag?
So it's off of my Instagram.
Which is?
Bradshaw's The Fun Havers.
Bradshaw's The Fun Havers.
Bradshaw's _the_fun_havers.
There you go. Nice one.
Yeah, I'm the fun haver.
And so you gotta make sure. Bradshaw's nickname literally is The Fun Haver.
Yeah.
Which is the best nickname I've ever heard.
Yeah. You know, you gotta make it. If you're not having fun at least one point in your day, it's gonna be monotonous. And this year is 10 years that I've been on the road or working in the music industry. And if you don't have that, you're gonna hate each other by the end of tour. And I feel like our morale is actually raising as we only have 4 shows left.
Totally, man. I feel it on tour, too. It's like a big family. And that kind of like leads us into like the topic of the day, I think. Like you just said, like the morale is getting better as we go. And like you're just on the road, it is so easy to like kind of lose yourself and just get a little depressed. You're not at home. You're working long days, especially for the crew. Some days are tough. Some venues, you know, are tough. They don't have the space you need. You know, they've got certain rules you got to abide by. Some of them got dB curfews, limits that are just insane. You have to be so quiet that they have to figure out a way to still make this show happen. Some of them, you can't even make any sound until 5 o'clock in the afternoon because there's housing nearby or offices or something. And you have to figure out a way to just take all that in and just work through it and try to be positive. And I think that this subject of this episode is thick skin. Dude, you gotta have thick skin in this world. You can't just let everything get to you and just wear you down. And like, for instance, we were talking, if you're around a group of people and like they're never making fun of you, they probably don't like you, right? Like my best friends, they fucking tear me to shreds and I love it in a fun way. Like we love to make fun of each other. We pick on each other like crazy constantly. If you see your buddy mess up, trust me, you better be making fun of him about that for the next year until it's just old and hilarious. But you gotta have thick skin. You gotta let it bounce off and laugh about
That's your little bit of the leisure experience all day long.
Yes,
you're just cracking on each other on this tour. Everyone's making fun of each other, and I think like Bradshaw said, or maybe you said, Duddy, if your friends aren't making fun of you, then they probably don't like you. They don't even care enough about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were talking about how you get through a long tour like this. That's what Duddy and I were talking about right before the show. What should our subject be? And you know, how do you get through a long tour like that? And that's how we were like thick skin.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to be able to obviously take whatever comes.
Yeah. I mean,
you
got to
be
Anthony.
Able to take some
look
shit.
Look at Anthony.
Look at Anthony over here. We love Anthony.
Is
and guess
disgusting.
What? We also hate him. Oh, we
He's
hate
disgusting,
him.
And we let him know how gross he is every day.
Look at him. Can you zoom in on him?
That is his Ziploc bag of shit. He's using as a pillow.
That's the one that he put in the bunk in our bus, if you guys listened to a few hours back.
He hasn't gotten rid of it.
Oh, take the camera off him. Ugh, disgusting.
And he made me walk a mile to get him weed that he's not even smoking.
Yeah, that's true. What an absolute loser. We love you. You gotta have thick skin.
Did you meet my lover, Francisco, over here?
Oh, dude, you can't show. Do not show Francisco. Francisco has not agreed to be on film. So what's What's your thoughts on that? Are you talking trash? What's the jokes? Inside jokes for all the guys on stage. Everyone's got a nickname. You're the fun haver. That's kind of that's a great nickname.
It is. But you know, it's a lot of pressure too.
Oh shit. You know? That's true.
To the point now where every morning there's one artist, with 311, he'll come up to me first thing in the morning. Good morning. So where's today's committee meeting? It's like, man, I got to be prepared.
You got, yeah.
Yeah. Not, so are we going to make sound check? What's our production scale down to? You know, what's our ticket sales?
And no, where are we swimming?
Yeah. Where are you guys going to pop up today?
Hey, fun haver.
Yeah.
And we that's so rad because you brought like probably so much happiness to those people now that are in that leisure committee with you that know every day we're going to find somewhere to swim. Like you made that happen for them. Now they have something to look forward to every single day. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
It's great. I love fun having it. I look forward to it. But yeah, there's I look a lot forward of jokes to... and a lot of trash talking within the departments. There's a couple guys that we just rag on to the point where I'm concerned about their mental health at this point.
Yeah.
But it's because they're doing such a great job.
Is Waka one of them?
Waka definitely gets rode hard. Hard.
Yeah.
For those of you who didn't see our live Twitch thing we did on the Dirty Heads album release day, Waka was there and we gave him a pretty hard time. Waka is like on this tour, he's kind of like that little brother that everyone likes, but you just can't help but make fun of this guy. He's just something about him. You're like, I'm going to make fun of you.
Dude, he looks like he's walking on sunshine.
He's got his smiling.
His chin's in the air. Sandals. He's got a permanent grin. Sandals
beer,
on.
Koozie.
Yeah. He's on tour with Kenny Chesney right now.
Oh my God.
Jimmy Buffett all day.
And he walks up and you just go, fuck you, Waka. And he goes, all right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, man. Have a good one.
Can't really do it. It's awesome.
You gotta love it, man.
Thick skin. He's got thick skin.
He's got thick skin. You know what? He could have been like, holy shit, this sucks. These guys are all bullying me. But no, he's made it a thing now where he just smiles through it and laughs. And now to the point where everyone's like, I fucking love this guy.
Well,
yeah. Well, not the crew, because the crew's out there working their ass off and Waka's walking around in fucking sandals drinking 4 p.m. He's done. He's our VIP guy, so he takes care of making sure all the VIP guys get you know, anything that came with their package. Some of the VIP packages come with meet and greets for the bands, and you know, he makes sure that they all get in to the venue and they get their pictures taken and all that. He runs that. That's done at like 4.
I think his most important job, though, is the ice bath.
Like, the ice bath. Jared's ice bath has become Waka's fucking... We call him the Iceman now.
Every day,
Waka has to get at least 6 bags of ice. Jared's ice trough. He has to get it out, fill it up with water, get 6 bags of ice, and fill it up with ice water for Jared to come and take his ice bath.
And he has to do all that one-handed because he has a Miller Lite in one of his
hands. There is video to prove that. I don't know if you've seen the video of him dragging the tub across the parking lot with a beer in his hand on the loading dock. All these guys are on like hour 15 loading out, and I'm radioing him, where's the tub? And he comes in with a beer, dragging the tub all the way to the loading dock.
So awesome.
So now you understand why he walks up and you just go, dude.
So
fuck you, dude.
All these jobs. We had Ben, the one of the riggers on, you know, a couple episodes ago, and we got a lot of comments of people saying, I didn't even know that was a job.
Yeah.
And we kind of realized that that's a really cool thing we can do on this tour. We can have people like you on. You're the stage manager. You're setting up where Ben's going to go. You know, you're kind of setting it all up. Ben is a rigger. Now we shed a little bit of light on Waka, a VIP guy. You know, you guys know that there are VIP meet and greets at concerts. I'm talking to the listeners, but there's a person for that. That's what he does. He has to coordinate all that. So there's all these personalities, all these people kicking around, and everyone, most people are like a type A personality. Most people are talkative. Most people are funny. That's how you kind of landed here. You know,
people have to like you for you to last on the road.
Right. Exactly. And
very
so
extroverted.
Yes.
It's a shit talking fest and it's fun. So
I will say before, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no,
quick,
go ahead.
Waka, after he does the VIP stuff, he does help out with, you know, making sure the buses are stocked and the dressing rooms, you know, clean. He does do other things, so
yes,
he doesn't listen
time.
To
like
us
the
and fucking want to kill himself.
Oh, yeah.
No, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, but fuck him.
But yeah, he's
no, he's the best, dude. Everyone
trust me,
on this
saw
tour
this guy,
is awesome.
Okay, if anyone's seen, what is it? I think it's a 30-year-old virgin or...
40-year-old virgin.
40-year-old virgin.
That's him.
No, not 40-year-old virgin. Step Brothers. Where's that guy? Bam!
I don't know what it is. Something about your face. I just want to punch your face.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy that just has that face. You're like, man, I just want to fucking punch you. That's
why. Oh, my God. Even when Will Ferrell succeeds, he's like,
I would
still want to punch your face.
With him over and over.
I would.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good dude.
He's because he's my punching guy. He's a good
dude. Yeah, dude. That's so. I guess why Duddy and I wanted to bring that up is, look, everyone's butt hurt these days. People are searching for somewhere to be hurt on the internet, right? Like, they're just searching through people's posts to be like, what? I can't believe you said this. Why wouldn't you? You know, so just everybody out here, thicken up the skin a little bit. You know what? It's going to get you so much farther in this world than complaining about every little thing that makes you upset. And if you're upset about everything, you will not last a week on a tour.
No.
I'll tell you that.
I've said this before. So I think it was on a live podcast, and I'm going to say it again. I took my family camping. I made a little fucking boat with my son, and I let it go down a stream. I filmed it, and I posted it on my social media. And I got 4 people that hit me up saying, I can't believe you would litter in nature. How dare you? I thought that you were better. We picked the boat up when we were done, and we took it with us. Dude, don't go on and look for things to complain about and now you're upset and now you're having a bad day because of that. Now you're trying to make me have a bad day because of that. Yeah. When at the end of it, all I did was make a little boat with my son, float it down a stream,
and then
picked up the boat.
You know who else floated down the river? Moses. All right, so fucking check yourself, internet, please. Oh, wow.
Man. Oh,
that's exactly what I'm getting at, dude. So everybody, man, take life with a grain of salt. You're only going to be here, if you're lucky, 85 years. If you're unlucky, 120. But you got it, dude. You're only here so long. Shut fucking laugh. Yeah,
have
please.
Fun. Do things that are fun. Speaking of that, and this goes with the Leisure Committee because Bradshaw got me to do this tour. We finished the show. It was late at night. It was probably the venue was pretty much closing, like kicking even like us out, the band.
Yeah, the buses had to leave.
And he's like, yo, we were in the same parking lot as a Six Flags. And he's like, let's go break into Six Flags. And it's like, what, midnight, 1 in the morning at this time?
I think the post is like 3:20 a.m.
Oh, was that late? Wow,
it was later, like around 2, and then
we left.
I know I was there. Yeah, we were there for a while.
So we were there for a while. So we broke in around 2.
Regardless, it was closed.
Yeah, it was closed. We actually yanked the golf cart from the venue.
My most prized possession.
Hijacked that. And then we drove through the parking lot to the Six Flags, and we just drove around the Six Flags until we found a way in.
Yeah.
And we found a way in, and we went in to Six Flags, closed, nobody there, all the lights off. We climbed up into the rides. We took pictures. We took pictures in front of like the ice cream parlor. Like we opened up the, like, you know, where they have like the carnival games in, you know, theme parks. Bradshaw opened one of them up. We were playing ring toss. Buckets of rings. Yep. We were fucking stuffed animals. We weren't fucking stuffed animals. I said that weirdly.
Almost.
But we could
have. They were having sex with them.
Yes,
sorry.
Yeah.
Very good.
We were making
clear that
love
up
to them.
Wow. So, very careless of us. We got it squared.
Taking beer out the tap.
It was, you know, it was lawless land. I was amazed at how easy it was. So my most prized possession is, over the years, I've collected golf cart keys. So they're all mostly universal, and so I have quite a few, and that's also become a thing where if there's a golf cart, I'm going to take it for a ride at the end of the night. And some of the other guys have gone with me at night.
Yeah.
But that night there was a company that rhymes with Jive-ration, security golf cart that my key fit, and we got in. That was a fun night.
That was a fun night. That was a really good night. And let's be honest, man, anyone out there who at night while drinking, technically, you don't even have to be on a golf course, but at night, drinking with your buddies, if there is a golf cart and you are in that, you're having a good fucking time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is about drinking at night, cruising around in a golf cart. It just makes you feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it makes you feel so good. On this show, you know what? We've got some sponsors that make us feel so good, and we're going to talk about them right now. And one of them is Proper 12. And if you are not just listening, if you are watching on YouTube, you notice something missing from this episode. This is the first episode. There's no bottle of Proper 12.
I'm disappointed.
I'm so fucking sad. We are on the road. This is a day off. It was a spur of the moment, like, hey, man, let's try and knock out a podcast while we have some time. And our last podcast we did, we finished the last bottle. And since then, we forgot to get more. We don't have any proper 12. We couldn't even find the bottle. We're so upset. So if you're listening, proper 12. It's a delicious whiskey. I really recommend you. Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, the good vibes were now sent to all the people who tagged us in their picture of proper 12 and feeling good. They did the hashtag. They got it. Bam! Those good vibes have now been sent to you. Congratulations. You're feeling good. You're feeling better today.
And I just have a quick thought. Can you put proper 12 on your rider?
Oh.
That's something you should probably do.
Damn.
Just wanted to get that out there before
Dude,
we forget.
Look at the brains on
Look
Brad.
At that guy. Huh? Well, okay. Yeah, look, we're playing a show tomorrow in Sacramento. I know they sell proper 12 in California.
That's
so
a
let's
great
put
idea.
That on the rider and let's
proper
make sure that we don't miss
it
out.
To the Dirty Edge rider. So proper 12, baby. Check it out. Great whiskey, great people. We love it. We're going to take a shot right now, but it's going to be of tequila.
Yeah.
For every person that brings
And this isn't a sponsor of the show, but Matty-O, our drummer, loves this. So I'm just going to do a plug for it anyway in hopes that maybe one day I can get Maddie some free Casamigo. This is on our rider. We love this. We take a shot of Casamigo before the shows. It's kind of a ritual. All the guys in the band, they love tequila. And this is Matt's like favorite tequila. So Casamigo, if anyone out there is listening,
not bad.
Hook it up.
Duddy's the whiskey guy.
Cheers.
Duddy's straight proper 12.
Yeah, cheers. Baby. Cheers.
Ching, ching. Oh, yeah. Sorry, buds.
Oh, yeah.
There you go, Bradshaw.
Hi.
Hey, bud. Thanks.
Good to see you.
Hey, good to see you, Brasha.
Who's this guy?
Duddy, I don't know.
Guys.
Dude, can we put the camera back on Anthony real quick just for a hot second? God, what an absolute piece of shit. Duddy, anything you want to say about Anthony?
He's gross.
Mm-hmm.
Three shades of white.
Okay.
Oh my
Get
God.
The camera off him. What an absolute.
I premature ejaculated in a girl.
Wait, what?
Never mind.
We'll yeah, see. Save that. All right, I'm sad that I did that. Duddy no longer feels good. We'll bring it back. We'll reel it back in.
Whew.
You just sit over there and be disgusting, Anthony. Duddy, what's next, bud?
How can you be so big and still look like an absolute baby?
I don't know. That's the hugest baby of all time.
It's insane. He's one diaper away from being two.
Still
he
breastfeeds.
He needs a diaper, apparently.
He's blowing me kisses right now.
Antoine.
While waving his fucking Ziploc bag of
yeah.
shit around.
For the listeners,
like it's a trophy.
When I say turn the camera over to Anthony, he's laying shirtless on Duddy's bed in his hotel room, wrapped in Duddy's sheets.
We're on the road right now.
We're
still,
on the road.
So we're doing this. Oh, God damn it. He just hit me with his bag of shit.
Yeah.
He thinks it's like John
he made
Lennon's
a prop
bed in right now.
For any of you guys who listen to the show regularly, you know that Anthony is on our bus, the Cutlass bus, the one with Duddy's face on the side, and he had to shit in the middle of the night, took a shit into a plastic bag, wrapped it up, put it in his bunk for the night, in a junk bunk, one above him. So he thought it would be fun to make a prop. He brought a Ziploc bag filled with toilet paper, and he said, this is my shit bag. I want everyone on the show to see it. So go to YouTube if you want to see what we're seeing.
If you've been listening to these and you didn't know, we also we videotape all of these, and every single episode is also available on YouTube. You can watch this. You can personally see how fucking disgusting Anthony is.
Anthony's our new resident gross man. On this tour, we had Big Mike on three different times, I think. So he's become a little bit of a regular. Anthony has worked his way into our heart in the grossest and weirdest way.
So Big Mike, obviously, big guy. Gentle mm-hmm. Giant, obviously, giant. Big guy. The weird thing about them is total opposites. Mike's big guy, good-looking big guy. Anthony's big guy, super gross. So complete opposites, you know?
Mike looks like a big chiseled Greek god. Anthony looks like a humongous baby. Yeah. That's what's happening.
There's
That's
people
what's happening.
Into that though, man.
But good there thing is. He's a baby with super thick skin.
Thick skin. Oh, baby is getting thirsty. Anthony is rubbing Duddy's shoulder and telling him that baby is thirsty. You'll have to go to YouTube.
Oh, my God.
All right, Bradshaw, you are not disgusting. You are a beautiful man.
I'm pretty fucking gross.
Oh, no. You are? Shit. Never mind. Bradshaw's a gross piece of shit. Duddy, the sponsors.
I've only gotten through one sponsor due to how disgusting Anthony is.
Oh, my God. I'm going
to...
Come over here with Anthony for a hot second. You keep doing the sponsors, buddy.
You're going to go take a bong toke?
I'm
going to
take a bong toke. That's what's happening.
Okay, Jake's going to go take a BTZ. And while he's doing that, we'll talk about Koi.
Koi CBD.
Koi CBD. Okay. It needs no explanation. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know I love this shit. I use these droppers
right here.
every single day. Matter of fact, I'm going to take some right now because they're not only delicious, they make me feel so good. So you hold it under your tongue for like 20 seconds and then you fucking just feel better. I love this stuff. It's like a little bit of a natural mood enhancer for me. It just like takes a little bit of stress off. Doesn't make me tired whatsoever. There's no THC in it, so you're not getting high, but you are just gonna feel the effects. If you're someone who's got like achy joints, any sort of inflammation, this stuff's gonna help you out a lot, and it's gonna be a lot healthier than if you're just popping Advils or Tylenol all day. Yeah, that stuff's gonna mildly take away your pain, you know, but it's just not that great for you. This stuff is so healthy. It's so good. I take it every day. Could not recommend it anymore. KoiCBD.com. If you put in code DuddyB at checkout, you get 20% off your order.
Can I interject on that?
Dude, get up on that.
So, well, I just did some before.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did some.
So I broke my foot 8 days ago in
that's
four
right.
places.
I was going to talk about that.
Yeah, and the KoiCBD edibles that you gave me and the Solve,
yep.
I mean, is helping. I don't even take ibuprofen right now.
Dude. And
truly, it's working.
It's great, man. There's been and he got fucked up. He, On the tours on the stage, you know, there's wires going everywhere that are very important. You pull one of these wires, possibly the whole show goes down. So they make these ramps that, you know, you can kind of put wires through and then things can roll over them so that nothing gets tripped on. And they're kind of fucking heavy. They got to be heavy duty because they kind of not move. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to put a bunch of heavy ass wires under them. And that's what they pretty much are, ramps. So you can still be rolling all the things over them and not fucking up the wires. People don't trip over it, blah, blah, blah. These things are heavy. And there's a stack of them. And the stack fucking slid and fell down and landed directly on Bradshaw's foot.
Yeah.
And broke it. So not only is Bradshaw been in a boot on this tour, yesterday, this happened 8 days ago, and I'm looking out the bus window, me and a couple guys.
No,
we look out, oh yeah, oh yeah. I look out at Brad, I look out the window, and Bradshaw's on, you know, like these weird like fold-up bikes.
The Interrupters,
you know?
Gifted me that.
They gave you that?
So they were leaving for Japan, and that's I was so like, nice. Hey, I'll buy it. They were like, we can't take it. And I never heard anything. The next day in the merch trailer, I open it up, and it's, we wanted to give you this, rest your foot, here's your bike. And they gifted me the bike.
That's so nice.
Love you, Interrupters. Hope Japan's well.
So Interrupters, I can't wait till you, because we had Kevin on the show. So okay. I hope Kevin's been listening
since, I
hope he hears this. This is what happened to your bike. So the Interrupters gave him this bike, and we look out the window, and Bradshaw's riding by the bus on it. We're like, look at Bradshaw, broken foot on a fucking bike. What's he doing? And as we're saying that, he pops a wheelie and starts to try and wheelie ride and fucking falls off the bike onto his
backwards.
Fucking ass.
Oh
just
my
fucking
God.
Like, no!
But I kept the foot up.
He kept the foot up.
The fun haver.
The fun haver having fun.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
And I didn't think anyone saw me. And then later in the day, Matt came up to me and he's like, stay off the bike. Like, yeah. What are you talking about? He's like, we saw. Like,
we saw.
So far on this tour, the Dirty Heads original merch guy, Jake, fell off an electric scooter, cracked his skull, broke a rib, had to go home.
Yeah.
The drummer of the Dreamers, Jacob Wick, stud, fell off his skateboard, fucked up his hand, and smashed his eye.
Smashed
the dude had
face.
A cut
his
over
car,
his eye.
Yeah.
Dude, it's gnarly.
Bradshaw broke a foot.
Yeah, we've had some injuries.
Oh.
No, yeah. I was skating with Jacob from the Dreamers, and we were, you know, one of the venues had like these steep hills in the back by where the semis were parked, and we were kind of just cruising around there, going down the hill, whatever, nothing crazy. But you got going pretty fast, and it was dark out, so it was like, if there's a rock or something, you don't see it. And I remember skating away, and I was like, all right, later, fucking Jake, have a good one. And I remember going like, man, I'm kind of lucky, because I got going a couple times faster than I wanted to be going, and it was pitch black, and I was like, man, I'm pretty lucky I didn't hit a rock or something and fucking eat shit. And 20, 30 minutes later, I hear, man, did you hear someone ate shit, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my God.
It was him.
It had to be Jacob.
Yep.
And next thing I know, I was like, yeah, it was the drummer for the Dream. Oh, no, Jacob.
Yeah, but he never missed a show, never missed a beat.
He didn't.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's in there.
Yep.
It's been a tour, Bradshaw. Yeah. You better watch out, buddy.
Oh, I didn't finish the sponsors.
Yeah.
All right, so also, Sticky Vape, another great company. Great product. We've made our own. Hold on a second. We made our own sticky vapes with the Dirty Heads. We have a sativa and an indica. Both absolutely delicious. Great company. Great people. I use these things all the time. I always have one of these things in my pocket because I can't have a vaporizer in there because what would I plug it into? So I have a vape pen.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
I thought you were afraid of being vaporized.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never even fucking thought of that. That's terrifying. About it.
That's why they make the pens.
Don't get vaporized.
I think it's happened twice. I use mine in important meetings.
Oh. Yeah.
Kill the stress and just kind of lighten the mood generally. Yeah.
That's dope.
And add smoke for my presentations. You got it.
Oh, it's, dude. Yeah. It's fucking cool. Absolutely.
Do you do the...
I do. And it's all PowerPoint, you know, I'll get out the laser pen and I hold on, guys, and I take 7, 18, 14 tokes. Whew, I blow a little mist. I get the PowerPoint out, zap, 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 sail done on an airplane, drinking drinks, and back to just winning. And
is it like a Lamborghini airplane?
It's probably a Lamborghini mansion plane, I think, is what I usually fly those in. That way, no matter what I'm into. What's that?
2020?
2040. Oh, yeah, they're thinking about making it. I have it.
Okay.
Yeah, they're thinking about maybe starting to begin to probably make it. Yeah.
All right, cool, man.
That's what I have.
That's dope.
So. I own things that aren't that.
What
aren't
color?
Things. It's not color. You probably haven't heard of the color. It's not a color. I don't think you can see it yet. Most people can't see it yet. Yeah.
Oh.
You'll get there. They're working on the color. Yeah.
Stickyvapes.com. Check
on
it
the
out.
Color.
Good stuff. And last but not least, is it last but not least? No, I see two more over there. On It is a great company. We actually were in Austin last week or 2 weeks ago, and they let us come into their gym and the kind of their headquarters. They showed us all around. They ran us through an awesome workout, and just great, cool company with some cool people. They're making some awesome products. They hooked up the band before this tour with just a bunch of awesome supplements, and they're pretty much gone. We've been sucking them down. Even the other bands and crew members have been hitting, can I get some more of that On It shit? They got this. I'm on 2 months of this now. Every single day, they got these packets, these Total Human packets, where it gives you one packet for daytime, you take them, and then also one for nighttime. And they come in a box of 30, so it'll last you a month. Total Human complete supplement packs is what they are. They're awesome. It gives you everything your body needs. And also on this tour, I've been using, I love it, is their instant melatonin spray. I say it every time and I'll say it again. We're in a band, we're touring, we're on the road. We play, our show gets over late. It's loud music, you're running around, you're all fired up. It's hard to calm down and go to bed. Like even Bradshaw just said, they get off, even the crew, they get done later than anyone. And they still need wind down time. It's hard to just jump in your bunk and go to bed, but you gotta get some sleep.
You guys have been to a concert when you still hear the drums and you're laying on your pillow after the concert and you still hear the drums.
Your adrenaline's got you going. Yeah, man. For sure.
A couple sprays of this melatonin spray, it's all natural, and you're gonna sleep so good. Right through the night, you're going to get a great night rest.
I think you're Bradshaw, you only got a 30-second window to sleep. You want to get knocked out.
You want to be out.
You blink. And yeah.
You don't want to work on 10 seconds of sleep. You got to get 30.
onit.com, that's two N's, onnit.com. If you do a /duddy after that, you're going to get 10% off your order. Onit.com, great company, great people. Check it out.
I got the whole month of the Total Human thing coming, and I ordered a couple other things for energy. I got the mushroom energy pack. I'm so freaking excited. I can't wait to get
this
stuff.
Their mushroom products are awesome.
I'm hoping when I get home that box is waiting for me, and then I'm going to do it for a whole month, and then I'm going to report back.
I'm just going to throw this out there, too. I don't even know how this would help them, but we went to their facilities and they had like a little cafe thing in there that made you shakes.
Oh, my God.
It was one of the best shakes I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
I think about it to this day.
They got like a little smoothie shop in their headquarters just outside of Austin, Texas, or in Austin, Texas, I should say. Unbelievable.
So franchise that and put the other one out of business.
Mm-hmm. Big
time. Got it.
And then I got a little product up here because Uppercut Deluxe, they're a pomade company, and they've supplied me with pomade. I've been using it on the tour, and they've also recently given me beard oil and beard balm. I do beards, Bradshaw.
Oh, I never knew that.
All right. Bradshaw asked me a good, 3 hours ago to do? No. It's been like five or six days. He's like, Jake, please trim my beard. So I'm going to do it today for him, and I have beard balm and beard oil for Bradshaw. So Uppercut styled me out with all these products. I've been doing cuts on the road and hooking people up with Uppercut products. But a week ago, they sent me their newest thing. It's a styling powder. For guys like me, my hair's kind of lazy. It just falls straight down and I can never get it
his
to stay
hair is
up.
Lazy.
Dude, my hair is lazy. Well, I'm lazy because if I wanted to blow dry it and hairspray it and do all that shit, my hair would stand up and I'd look like Matty O, the drummer of the Dirty. That'd look cool.
It's got some fucking
but it takes hair. A lot of work. So Uppercut has this product where it's literally powder. You dump it, you know, you just powder, powder, powder like salt. put it on your hair, and then you run your hands through your hair, and it instantly thickens up and stands straight up, and you can kind of do whatever you want with it. So I wanted to try this because I knew what my hair was like, and I know that I'm lazy. So I did it at a show, and I it was down south. It was in Texas. I sweat all day working this show, and every time I'd run my hands through my hair would stay dry and go right back up. So the Uppercut Deluxe Styling Powder, it's available now. Go online. If you have just lazy hair that kind of falls straight down, put this shit in there. Your hair looks way thicker and stands straight up, and it stays dry. That's the thing. I don't like my hair to look greasy, so I don't use pomade that much. This keeps your hair dry and gives it mad volume. I'm freaking hooked.
I don't use no products, so there's no reason for me to even lie about this. But yesterday or a couple shows ago, Matty O was pouring this powder on his head. And we were like, what are you doing? And he was like, dude, it's this new product Jake gave me.
Yep.
It's from Uppercut, this powder. He's like, I love it. I don't have to like get my hair wet or nothing. I just dump it in, blah, blah. And he's using it. And as he's using it, Mike Ricci comes in, our new merch guy.
Yep.
After our last merch guy pretty much died on
shattered
a Lime scooter.
Yeah.
Mike Ricci walked in and he goes, oh, are you using that Uppercut powder? He's like, I love that shit. I use it every day now.
I also
so
gave it
obviously
to...
obviously, it's pretty cool.
Dude, I gave it... because when I used it the first try, it honestly blew my mind. I was like, holy shit, this is exactly what I've wanted forever. Because I try matte pomade, clay, everything to try to keep it looking dry. It all ends up becoming a little greasy. This stuff blew my mind. So I cut Mike Ricci's hair, Dirty Head's new merch guy. I gave him some. He loves it. I gave it to Matty O. He loves it. And I gave it to Kevin Bavona of the Interrupters. Okay. And like 2 days later, he's all, bro, he's all this... what did he call it? He's all the spray and rake or whatever. He's like, dude, I love that shit. So
shake and rake.
Nice. He's shake and rake. He's all, bro, the shake and rake. So honestly, this stuff is amazing. Like, I love it. Check it out. Go get it. Enjoy it. Yeah.
Uppercut. If you put in code Jake B, nothing will happen.
Yeah, I got to ask them if there's some sort of promo code deal. Yeah.
We got to get that. We're going to get that.
Yeah, shake and rake, and yeah.
And if you take a picture of Uppercut and you tag Feeling Good with Duddy and Uppercut in it, we're going to send you something.
Who will punch you? That's an Uppercut joke. You got it. Okay. Hey, all right. Okay. No, we would
never.
So
that being said.
Yep. Thick skin.
Are we through the sponsors? Did we do
it? I think we're through the sponsors. That was a really long sponsor segment. But we did it.
All right.
And I still feel good. So where do you want to go from here? We've talked about having some thick skin, how that's beneficial.
You know where I want to go? What I'm going to do right now is just go. Let's take a quick pause. I got to piss.
Oh, okay.
We'll come right back, and I'm going to ask you how you got into the music business.
Got it.
And we can go for wherever you want to go from there.
This is now a three-hour podcast.
So for the listeners, yeah, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to hear about Bradshaw's getting him into the music biz, dude.
All right, so we're back from our little break. Thanks for bearing with us there. Super professional. Feeling good with Eddie. So, nice fade out, Jake.
You like that?
That was a live
DJ
fade
Harsh
out.
Cut That's, over here.
Well, I DJed for several years.
Are you the best Australian real estate DJ?
I actually am, thank you, yes.
What's your DJ name?
DJ Cunt.
Artsy.
If you haven't watched that show, Lunatics,
on Netflix.
Do yourself a favor and watch Lunatics. It's fucking amazing.
Dope as fuck.
Yeah. So, Bradshaw, how did you like get into, you know, working as a touring with bands?
What led you here, Bradshaw? Yeah.
Man, it's a long, bumpy road. No. yeah. How do we segue? So... I'm first generation born here, and I thought it was my thing to join the military. And so I joined the Air Force, didn't fulfill my commitment. 3.5 years, I was medically retired, and wasn't sure what I was going to do. And took a year, went to Hawaii, worked for my parents, was living out there, met an artist who throws a festival out there, and they're doing Kakua Festival. So it's Jack Johnson and Eddie Vedder. Brought me on as a stagehand just to kind of see what was going on.
Did you play any instruments?
I did.
Were you a musical kid?
Yeah, I mean, I started playing drums when I was like 5 and guitar when I was 8.
You were in bands?
Yeah, all through school, played sax all through middle school, jazz band, high school.
Nice.
Music was always my thing.
Yeah.
I remember being 13, 14 years old, sneaking into clubs, and my dad was so supportive. He knew that music was it.
Yeah.
Actually, the first concert I was ever thrown out of was a 311 concert. I was 13 years old. I snuck into, and when they called me to interview for this tour. It was the first thing I said. And it's like, all right.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, you know, that, the music's always been a thing there. It's my passion.
Why were you kicked out of that concert?
I crowd surfed twice. And then when security was like, you do this again, you're out. I just tried to jump on stage.
Ah.
You know, I was that kid.
Yep.
Fun having.
Yeah.
All right. So you were a musical kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go into the military.
I did. I joined the military. Wasn't sure what I was going to do. Yeah. And so I was a combat controller. Jumped out of planes, basically.
Jumped out of planes. They sent you on missions.
Yeah.
So you're going here. You're doing this. You're jumping on this plane. We'll pick you up when the mission's done type thing.
Yeah, exactly. I was a joint task force. I was the only Air Force guy assigned to an Army Ranger unit. So it was 12 Rangers and me. I was a radio guy. So we'd jump in, you know, downed pilot. We need to secure a landing zone. We need to secure a piece of land to make it a base in the future. I was a radio guy. Jump in, call in airstrikes, call in our, you know, extractions.
Yeah.
Things like that. So that's what I did. It's pretty adrenaline pumping.
That's intense.
But music kind of went to the wayside.
Yeah. So you get out of high school and you're like, oh, like, I don't have a band right now, whatever. I don't know what I'm going to do, so let me just go to the military.
Yeah, well, I never had the direction of a band. The only band was, you know, middle school jazz band or marching band or, you know, things like that.
Okay.
Garage band. And so didn't quite know what I wanted to do. Very proud to be from here.
Yeah.
Where are your parents originally from?
My mom's from England. My dad's from Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're proud to be an American. You sign up. You
sign up for
Lee Greenwood over here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. Well, at least you know you're free.
Yeah. And, right. And so at the time, it felt like the thing to do. And it was the whole, like, we'll pay for your college thing.
Yeah.
So I got a degree out of it.
And
loved it.
In your head, did you ever think, like, you know, that you were going to be actually going into battle? Or was this more of a
thing?
For
sure.
Yeah, you knew.
Know, when you take that oath of enlistment, you know, like, okay, I'm signing up for something that I have no control over. And you're basically letting your entire self go, mentally and physically.
Yeah.
I don't regret it. It's been a great chapter of my life.
Yeah.
It's been rocky.
Yeah. I know you had to leave because you got injured.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that at
all? Yeah, so I've got a few jumps in the Middle East, Iraq, Afghanistan, Dubai, Yemen, Pakistan. Long story short, our one jump... we were way off track, 28 miles off of where we should have been. And we were pretty much abandoned. So I radio in, we're in the wrong spot, we need out. Come to find out, we're supposed to be jumping into the Korangal Valley of Afghanistan. And we were in Pakistan on the other side of the border, which is a non-NATO sanctioned country. So it was pretty much like, you need to find your way back to the border so we can get you out and scrub this mission.
Yeah.
And there was... a lot, you know, it was 18 hours it took. We had to confiscate vehicles. Maybe that's why the golf cart confiscation comes in handy now.
Yeah.
Traits I've learned. Mm-hmm. And so it turned into a long firefight. And that's, you know, I've hip replacement, titanium femur, knee replacement. It was a long day.
Yeah.
And then so you go through all of that and you're lost. You come back. Yeah. And they ask you questions. Do you feel like hurting yourself? Do you feel like hurting others around you? And of course you're gonna say, no, I'm good, I'm great, I'm fine.
Yeah. You lost some of your friends in that, right?
Yeah, so there was 13 of us originally that went in. Three came out.
And three guys came out of that.
Yeah.
So you lost pretty much 10 brothers.
Yeah, exactly. And we had 28 jumps together. So it's...
I mean, we tour in a band. We're living with each other. We're close. The people on my bus in my band, I feel like they're my brothers. And I bet you feel the same way about all those guys.
Hands down.
I could not imagine losing one person on my bus. I don't know what I would do. The thought of losing 10, I just could not even imagine that.
Yeah. And many people can't. And I mean, I went almost 5 years where I didn't talk about it. Didn't even tell my own mother. You know, like what went down. And it's one of those things, you bottle it up, you suppress it, and it only causes damage in the long run.
Yeah.
And now I can go into a room, which I've done, public speaking, you know, 1,000 strangers that just want to hear what I went through. And by sharing that story or journaling and reading what I've written,
it's a healing process. Totally. I can accept it. I can get through that. You look back at, there's a gentleman, our master electrician on this tour was in Vietnam. Doesn't talk about it, but for some reason,
Grandpa?
Now we're getting to the point where this guy will talk to me.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it helps you heal by sharing your story.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, one reason being here is tell your damn story.
Yeah.
No matter what. Even if it's in the U.S., you've never deployed, or you're non-military, you've gone through something as a domestic abuse, an assault, a rape. You know, it's all very traumatic. It's all PTSD. You
gotta talk about it.
Guys join the military, never deploy, stationed in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You still have PTSD because going through boot camp, they break you down and mold you into something that you're not at that moment.
Yeah.
And that's PTSD. It's going to be a traumatic incident the rest of your life.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to disagree with that, but that's, you know, talk about it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what happened. You know, went through that. I shut down. I went to this retreat where I was able to journal and share my story to a room full of strangers. And it has helped exponentially to where I can go on things like this.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate.
Yeah. And for the listeners, we knew about this story, you know, with Bradshaw. And even before we did this episode, like, you know, he's all, are you guys going to want to talk about that? And Duddy and I both said, look, that's a great gnarly story that people would love to hear. You don't have to talk about it at all, because he's also a very fun guy. He's a fun haver. That's what they, you know, that's what we know him as here. But it just goes to show anybody out there too that's had crazy experiences, like you said, you named a bunch of different things that can happen to people to kind of mess with their mental state. It doesn't mean you can't move past it and still be a freaking fun haver, you know, like, yeah. That's a horrible, tragic thing. And we, like I said, we knew that he went through that, but we didn't tell him you have to talk about this. We're happy to just talk to you about music and being on this tour. But naturally it came out, and I think our listeners are going to be freaking riveted to that.
Yeah.
And I'm stoked you shared.
And
thank
I think
you.
That's just such an amazing story and everything. And it just goes perfect with the subject of the show. Dude, thick skin, man.
Oh, man. And
Come on. That could have just absolutely... I think that would have absolutely ruined most people. To be able to work through that and then still have... Dude, Bradshaw has the best attitude. He's just a positive, fun guy to be around. He is. You're around him. You're enjoying yourself. You're laughing. You're probably having a good time. You're probably having fun. He's the fun haver.
You have to.
And he's been through some dark shit that most people, like I said, it would probably break. But he's got some thick skin. And now he's here touring, having a good time, still positive. I mean, guys, whatever's bothering you, if you're in a dark spot, if you're going through some tough times, trust me, there's probably some people out there that have gone through some worse shit.
And like, they could be next to you and you don't even know.
And you have no idea.
That's so where talking so about it comes in. Yeah.
Exactly. To dwell on your own situation because of what it's so big of a deal to you and your situation. But if you really break it down, it's probably not that big of a deal. And you're going to get through it and you're going to have brighter days in the future. You just got to have some thick skin. And sometimes you just got to take those hits and be like, cool, that sucked. Fuck, man. You gotta move on. Talk about it, man.
But everybody does have problems, so talk about it. Yeah, no matter how big or small, everyone has problems. We respect them all. But why not? Why not? Yeah, talking about it, I think, is probably the best way to get through anything. Bottling anything up is not going to help, right?
Exactly. It's also the hardest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The hardest thing to do is probably start talking about it. Yeah. But I don't know. Once you did start being able to open up about it, did it just flow out, or was it continuously still hard to talk about?
It was hard. So what I was doing was this retreat. So there's I'll digress a little bit.
Yeah, let's go back to the story.
This Buddhist monk, he's the first U.S. ordained Buddhist monk. He was a Vietnam veteran, went through some shit. And same thing, woke up in Philadelphia under a bridge, was ready to take his own life. And this Zen Buddhist monk said, come study with me. Fast forward, now this man's role is only to help veterans and people, anyone with PTSD. And so I got invited to this retreat, started journaling, and he's like, write down the smells, the scent, you know, what you remember, the weather, texture, anything you can remember from that experience. And I looked at him flat out. I was like, fuck you. I don't want to relive this at all. And the more I did it and listened to him and wrote it out and then started sharing that, it's a form of acceptance, and that's really what helped. And it's
it's one of those things like it happened.
Yeah, it happened.
So the quicker you probably die, it's like diving into a freezing pool or whatever.
Yeah, you can hold on to
it. Get in there.
And use it as a negativity to bring you down and keep holding on to that. Or you can accept it and say, fuck, I went through this, but there's so much better out there. And there's so much more. And yeah. I'm going to continue to go on. I'm lucky enough to still be here, unlike those other 10 gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let's have fun.
Let's have fun.
Yeah, for
Enjoy
sure.
Enjoy yourself. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was intense. So we jumped in. I said we were 28 miles off track. We had to confiscate three vehicles. The U.S. pretty much said, you cross into the border and then we'll get you out.
We can't help you till you get to the border.
Yeah, I felt abandoned. And I've testified before Congress with this same story, so I'm not doing anything. Yes. I'm not breaking any rules or anything. Yeah, and so you feel abandoned by your country that you signed up for. And then we took a lot of fire. We hit an IED. It flipped over two vehicles. And then we were stuck there until finally we were able to get airlifted out. But the crazy thing is, the first retreat I went to that I shared my story with this Buddhist monk was 6 years after the incident. And there's a guy in the crowd who comes up to me afterwards. And he said, I want to talk to you. We went to dinner. Turns out my whole incident was being watched, which all of ours were watched by a drone. And so they're watching live on camera mm-hmm. to see what's going on to help with intel. The drone pilot who watched my entire incident for 18 hours was at this retreat suffering from PTSD, and he never left Houston, Texas.
Wow.
He was in Houston, Texas, flying this drone, watching my whole incident. And because of what we went through, he was a part of and still has PTSD, which is insane.
Wow.
He saw it and he probably felt
helpless. Exactly.
Probably watching, wanted to press a button and yeah. get you guys out.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It's wild. So, yeah. That's
everyone's
crazy,
got man. Problems. You know, everyone out there, yeah. they can take this in. Like, the happiest, most happy-go-lucky dude, the fun haver, went through it all. Went through as bad as a dark time as anyone listening. I think that should be helpful for anyone listening. If you're alone, if you're in a dark place, if you're sad, everyone has been there. The smilingest, happiest person you see on Instagram every day has been there too. You're no different than anyone else.
Yep.
You're gonna come out of this, and happy days lie ahead. Just go get them, you know?
Build that thick skin.
Yep. Build that thick skin.
Yeah.
Make it make you stronger, you know, whatever you're going through out there.
When I got out, I didn't have the thick skin, and I felt helpless and didn't know what to do. You know, I answered all the bullshit questions. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm not gonna hurt myself.
I'm good, I'm fine.
And my parents were very fortunate and had a place in Hawaii and said, come out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Jack and put me into the music industry. And I was like, you know, I'll be a stagehand. And
yeah,
it's worked my way up 10 years later.
Now he's here with us, and we could not be more stoked to have you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been a blast. Well, it's the best tour I've ever, in 10 years, the best tour I've ever been on.
Oh,
truly. The people Thank are great.
You. In what way? In that? In just the positive energy of it all? Or what, how do you mean?
I feel like, the energy, I mean, you have a lot of different dynamics with mm-hmm. all the camps. None wrong or right. It's just different dynamics, different personalities, and I'm trying to mesh with all of them to make sure everyone's happy with all their production and everything. But at the end of the day, everyone's got that common goal on this tour of there's going to be a show. No matter what, there'll be a show. And you don't have that, believe it or not. It's always, you got to clear the green rooms because the headliner's coming out, or we don't talk to them, or we don't eat in the same room as them. I mean, I've been on tours that's been brutal. Weird. Where all the support acts have to be out of the parking lot before the headliner takes the stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I do remember being on tours in the past where there would people would go through the hallways like before some of the acts.
Oh,
like,
sweep.
Everybody, get out. Clear the hallways. Everyone back in your room. And I mean, I don't know. I admit on these tours, the backstage was kind of a shit show. People everywhere. But yeah, I do remember harsh vibes. I remember security guards and like people getting tackled on stages and stuff and like heightened energy. This tour is extremely laid back. Like,
it is.
It's like very laid back.
Well, all the bands and all the members and all the bands are just very cool.
Extremely, yeah.
Easy to get along with. Everyone's here for the same thing, like you said. Hey, man, we're all here to just put on a cool show.
I think it's seasoned. I think that's something that I've noticed. Yeah. Like, even the Dreamers become my homies.
I love them.
They've been around for years. just yeah. kind of doing the indie thing, doing so they're experienced.
Yeah.
And all interrupters, you guys.
Yeah. And then you got Bikini Trill, who's like really just like breaking into the scene yeah. a little bit. But they just are the nicest group,
and
of
they
want to
learn.
Ever.
They yeah. want to learn.
I love those guys.
I remember
and girl, Lauren,
cartoon
the singers,
Bikini Trill.
Well.
They roll up in their bus. They all are wearing right. different tie dye.
All smiling.
Don't even know where they are.
No. Yeah. they look like a walking Amazon rainforest. Like there's just every color under the rainbow represented on their right. outfits, and huge smiles across the board, laughing
huge smiles.
Always.
Yeah. yeah.
Like just a ball of fun.
Something that will stick out to me on this tour is we were in Duluth, and 10 minutes before this happened, my phone fell out of my pocket in the Lake Superior. And I was like, great, of course this is going to happen. We yeah. fished it out. iPhone XR, waterproof, it works.
Boom! Possible sponsor in the future.
Right. It's a great one.
We're in talks.
And so I walk up to the bus, and I see Bikini Trill outside your window, and it's like the ice cream dispensary man. Just handing
out
the
weed
pens. Out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was so good. I had a day, we were just, you know, lucky enough to be gifted quite a few awesome gifts.
Treats
we call them. And
treats
were funny. I was hanging out my head out the window, and I was laughing with some of the Bikini Trill guys, and they're like, dude, I'm so bummed, I'm sorry, we're out of weed, you have any? I was like, dude, I got you. So I grabbed this big ass fucking bag of weed I had. It was like a half pee or something, and I was just handfuling the band members out. And then the
window.
Dreamers drummer Jacob, who we were talking about earlier, he's like, no, I'm like, get over here. He walks up. It was just like, you know what? As good as it feels to receive a bunch of free weed, it feels, I think, even a little better to be able to just give a bunch
yeah.
of free weed. I love giving people weed because it makes them so
happy. So happy. It's so funny for you guys. I want you to picture this because Anthony was filming this. The Dirty Heads.
We have video.
Media guy.
If you're listening on the YouTube video, we have video of this.
The video of Duddy like from inside the bus, and you can see out the little window that Duddy opened, and you see the joyous smiles on the children's faces from that, as Duddy's sprinkling weed on them. My favorite part is when you're done sprinkling the weed out the window. Yay! Give me the weed, Duddy. Matty O comes by and starts sliding the window closed, and he goes, close for the day. See you guys tomorrow. And he closes the window. And you die so hard. Come back tomorrow.
Try again.
Oh, my God. So fun to give out little
it
weed
is so
treats.
So fun to give out weed. So what? We always have on this show a segment called Bandcamp where we let someone just tell a cool, funny, or whatever story. You got something you want
usually
to tell?
Usually from the road. So a road story is usually, so maybe one that's funny.
Man.
I know you cut too many.
So
let me do this first. I gotta set you up.
Oh, and this one time at band camp.
Dopest spot.
Free to go.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
It did not involve a flute. So my first ever tour manage gig, I was tour managing a band that I can't name the artist.
John Stamos?
It rhymes with Don Ramos.
Okay. Oh my God, it's John Stamos again.
And so I grew up to my mom waking me up at like 9 a.m. blaring this band. And this is something I was grew up with. Stoked to be on tour. I get meetings a week before. Don't let him out of your sight. Keep him close to you. You know, there's an addiction problem. Blah, blah,
is
blah.
The
I'm like,
singer of the band or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Telling
I mean,
you
it's,
to keep
it's
an
him,
eye
yeah.
on this person.
And I'm like, great. What am I signing up
is
for?
Is the band name or just the person's name?
It is just the person's
Duddy
name.
Duddy will find out who this is
we've,
and ruin
I,
your whole
I
shit.
We probably talked about this. And if you Google, it'll probably come up this story. But
so imagine this. It's his first time being a tour manager.
Right.
It's someone who's probably pretty famous for a while because you said your mom was blaring this person.
Like mid-70s.
Like real famous
now.
Till now.
Yeah.
And now your first tour managed gig and you're already getting the meeting.
I was filling in for someone.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
So I toured before this. Someone called me and was like, hey, you can handle this. We know you got it. It's your first gig. We're going to put you in 2 weeks.
That's not what you want to hear in your first gig.
Right.
Drug addiction problem. Watch
right.
this
guy. We're
going
to put you in.
Oh, okay, go for it.
So first show, Lincoln Theater, Raleigh, North Carolina. We load in. It's great. That's the first time I even met this artist. And I'm like, this is going to be fine.
Like,
no one's drinking. No one's partying.
You're like, it's fine.
This guy's old. We're all right.
Easy.
Sound check goes. Great. After sound check, I'm like, I'm going to grab some dinner.
We open doors. Support goes on after support. Looking for my artist. Still can't find my artist. Still can't find him. We ended up canceling the show.
No.
Artist went missing. And I'm like, that's it. I'm fired. I'm never going to be a tour manager again. This is never going to happen in my life. I screwed this one up. Ended up staying 2 days in Raleigh, North Carolina, trying with the bass player, trying to find the singer slash main member of this band. Found, get a phone call. The bass player got a phone call. We know where he is. We go knock on this door. It is a fucking plywood windows. Your epitome of a crack den. Door opens. Hey, baby, is there a show? There was 2 days ago. Let's go.
No, we didn't just
jump in a cab, get in the bus. Stop three. We pick right up where we left off. Finished out the tour.
Just like nothing happened.
Just like nothing happened. I lost the fucking artist for the first 3 days of tour. On my
so the first two shows had to get canceled. You caught up with the tour canceled. On show three.
Yeah.
After the artist did a 2 day crack binge in a trap house.
And then on the 10th day at the end of the tour, brought me out and made me get on my knee, knighted me, Sir Crash, refusing to let the tour crash. That night, I let him tattoo the inside of my lip, Crash. And haven't talked to the guy since.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is the music industry in a nutshell. If you're someone John who's like Stamos a tour man, John Stamos is a wild son of a
cracked
bitch.
In.
Think of that, everybody. If you're a tour manager, you're going to have multiple different bands. If you're a lot of bands will use the same tour manager, but when that band's not on tour, they're tour managing other people. You gotta manage tours to be a tour manager. So you can get put with anybody. You can get put with a whole group of people you've never met, and they could be fucking crackheads, and you gotta somehow get them to shows and make the tour go.
Wow.
It's such a gnarly job to be a tour manager.
I didn't let him out of my sight the rest of the tour. Legit.
Was he mad at you? Was he pissed? So he was cool with you just saying, dude, I've got to be stuck to your skin now for the
rest
of
this. Didn't even acknowledge it.
Really?
Yeah.
True professional.
Yep. Right.
Sort of.
So on the subject of crackheads, Jake, who do you think makes yellow packets of mayonnaise?
All right, dude. You're trying to get me to the board? Are you trying to get me to the board? This is
Jake,
it. Bradshaw's here.
Jake gets that was so upset.
Bradshaw's
about
here,
shit.
Dude. I was sitting at that table.
Jake gets so upset about
right,
shit.
Dude.
And the,
all
you're gonna
right,
have
everybody.
This.
Look,
you have to hold this for him.
I'm what is? I'm a happy-go-lucky guy.
Now it's gonna be your
not
job.
Much gets under my skin. That's you ask anybody, they'll tell you that. I don't have much to complain about ever, but one thing I can't stand is just plain stupidity, right? So we'll start here. For the viewers, I'm just going to hold this up. For the listeners, I will explain. I am holding up a ketchup packet. We all know what it looks like, right? It is white, and it has a red picture of ketchup on it, and it says ketchup. We've seen 1,000 of them. We get it. It makes a lot of sense. I am now holding up a completely yellow packet. Guess what it has in it? You got it. Mustard. Mustard is yellow. Ketchup's red. Red ketchup on the packet. Mustard is yellow. Yellow packet. Why confuse people? There's no reason to do it unless you're working real hard. But I now present you this. For the viewers, simply take it in with your eyes. What you're looking at is a slightly longer, thinner yellow packet than the mustard packet. This is the mayonnaise packet. All right. So I sat down at catering the other day and Big Mike from a few shows back. It was Big Mike who threw it at me, right? Or was it you, Bradshaw?
I said, can you bring me mayonnaise? We were in Houston at White Oak. I was like, hey, can you bring me mayonnaise? And you went through the bag and we're going through the bag,
Oh, yes.
And couldn't find it. And then Mike went up and was like, it's right here. This whole bag is mayonnaise.
That's right.
Because you thought it was
mustard.
And
the whole bag was filled with yellow packets. So I hate to fucking do it, but I kind of love to do it. This is what milk cartons look like, right? Sort of. I'm not the best. Milk, you get it. That's a little throwback. Okay, not a good milk. You got, okay. Soda can, right? Soda can. Coke. Sponsor? Potentially. Why fuck with the look, candy cane. We get it. You want candy canes? It's Christmas time. Why fuck with an easy good thing, dude? But oh no, dude. Oh no. How do I draw a color when I only have orange? These people want to make it difficult. That's what it is. I searched through an entire bucket looking for mayonnaise, but they put it in. Think of all the color. I don't even need the board for that. This is an audio version. You can't do the board with a color. Here's what we're going to do. Think of all the colors that you could have made the mayo packet. I'm gonna imagine that the first white.
White.
I was thinking white.
White.
Was that the first thing you guys thought? First Get the fuck out. All of you thought white?
White.
Why?
Because mayonnaise is white.
Mayonnaise is white. What color is ketchup, boys?
It's red.
It's red. See the red ketchup packet for the listeners? I'm holding it. What color is mustard, everybody?
It's yellow.
I don't even need my eye. I'm holding color over my eye.
Pack.
Relish green. Why? Mayonnaise. Why? Who manufactured this? Best foods? Best
This is like the Katz version of ketchup.
Dude, it is called Best Foods.
Worst
advertising agency ever.
New Jersey, that's why.
Okay, it's all starting to make a lot of sense. All right, it comes out of New Jersey, and since everything in New Jersey smells like... Okay, we're not going to be able to play New Jersey
Maybe
anymore.
Maybe they were out of white packagings.
Out of white. That's the excuse?
I don't know. I'm just saying there's no way someone was like, we should use yellow, and then everyone else at that company was like, yeah, dope.
I would have loved to have been at that board meeting.
Mayonnaise.
How can we save mustard? How can we save money right now on our can? We could use the same mustard packaging and we'll just use it for mayo. What? You're fucking, you have a raise, you have the corner office. There's a landfill somewhere in Arizona filled with mustard packets. I'm sorry, mayo packets, because everyone thought it was mustard. They bought them. They never used them. In a landfill in New Mexico, the earth's going to fall into a black hole, and it's all going to be because of the weight of excess mayo packets that confuse the nation. Do you get it?
I'm going to make a cherry candy. What color should I make the packaging?
Purple.
Brown.
Brown.
Cherry brown.
Some people work really hard.
Have you fucking seen? I cannot find my fucking cherries, by the way.
You're still looking for those black cherries?
Hopefully we'll find them.
Duddy's been trying to make a drink for 6 weeks on this tour, but he just can't simply find the cherries. All right, dude. I don't know. I wasn't that upset about that one, but I manufactured some serious anger there.
I get it, though.
You did.
I get it. It's what blows my mind is this. If you are a pizza... I'm going to open up a pizza store.
Okay. Duddy's Pizza.
And I make shitty-ass pizza.
Right.
Why did I think in my head, I know I'm going to do... I'm going to make pizza, and I'm going to make... flimsy ass pizza. The dough's not going to be cooked all the way through.
No.
The toppings will not be fresh.
It shall not.
That's. But I'm going to start a pizza store.
I'm terrible at making pizzas.
Why people do things when that's not something you're good at?
Yeah.
So if you think mayonnaise should be packaged in a yellow packaging,
you should jump off a cliff.
But then also, what blows my mind though is this. So. All the other people in that company were like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, no,
cool.
There was a meeting.
It's
that.
Not a one person thing.
Here's
That's
what
a
that
bunch
is.
Of
yeah.
people agreeing yellow's a good idea.
That's the owner of the company's package. Nephew. That's what that is. And he can't be fired. And he was put into some bullshit position. Everyone hates him. Name Tad. Guaranteed his name's Tad. Yeah. He's the nephew. His dad was very close. His dad passed away when he's young. Everyone feels bad for Tad. He's an idiot. We all agree that. He does have a spot right in front, drives a cherry red Lamborghini. He's a piece of shit. His name's
Tad.
Does
the license plate say Rad Tad?
His license plate absolutely says Tad the Rad, and he's banging his secretary that he switches out every 2 months. I kind of like the guy the more I talk about him. He's the guy that chose this. He's the guy that chose this. This is his legacy. Tad was the guy who presented yellow mayonnaise packets to a nation and frustrated touring bands across the globe and pretty much ruined catering for me one night in, where was it? Duluth?
Houston.
Houston. White Oak.
Backyard barbecue.
Oh, my God.
Okay, here's the deal. Here's the deal.
That was the worst venue.
This is something.
Oh, sorry, White Oak.
This is a true story. This is a true story, okay?
Are we fucked?
Every single thing about this is true. Okay, there's a guy making a sandwich, right? He's like, I need some fucking mustard.
Mm-hmm.
He grabs the yellow packet of mayonnaise. He opens it. He spreads it. This guy's blind, by the way.
Oh, no. Now, okay.
Someone told him this is a yellow package. And he was like, cool, give me the yellow package. That's mustard, right?
He's like, I don't know what yellow is, but the package is, yeah.
He's like, I've heard that mustard is yellow. And he said, will you hand me the yellow package?
Again, no idea what yellow, but
someone handed him the yellow package.
They did.
He spread the mayonnaise on his sandwich. He ate the sandwich. He fucking died, people.
Oh, he was. No, you know what it is? Worse. He lived thinking that mayo is mustard.
No, this is a true story.
Oh, wait, no, you're telling me the truth.
He died.
This is true.
This is true.
Oh, that got dark.
This is not true. I made this up. I'm kidding. But fucking, it's possible.
That's exactly. Yeah.
It's possible.
It's absolutely
so
possible.
So what you are is now, Tad is a fucking murderer.
Yeah, yeah. Tad.
Possibly.
Tad.
Possibly.
Yeah. Now you're not just murdering it in your Lambo. You're murdering people with mayonnaise.
All right, Tad. I think, are we done?
I think we're done. I think, Tad, you know what, dude? Fuck it, Tad. You're an innovator. You think outside the box, dude. I like your Lamborghini, dude. You deserve that spot.
Yeah. Is Tad actually
and
Waka?
Karen in accounting? Fuck her, dude. She's
Tad
always talking
is Waka.
Shit.
Yeah, Waka's Tad.
Oh, no. Oh, my Tad God. Is yeah. Waka?
Dude.
Did you hear why I made fun of Waka on the live Twitch show? Why I had to roast him on the
Please
whiteboard?
Please tell me. No.
Because he pronounces doll, like the word doll. Like, oh, I got a little doll for my little daughter. Dowel.
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 Great Lakes.
Dowel.
Man.
Much like putting yellow packaging on mayonnaise, which is a white condiment, he put the completely wrong letters into the word dowel. So I told him, you're like the type of person that says milk instead of milk and says pillow instead of pillow. And I think I told him to jump off a cliff,
yeah,
but I don't
sure.
want
well,
him
here,
to.
So
yeah.
And that, cause that live Twitch thing it's probably going to be aired. So it all started with Waka hit us up and was like, yo, I like to play like Dungeons and Dragons and shit. And I was like, all right, that's kind of cool. Like, whatever. That sounds actually fun now in my older age. I'm down. And he goes, okay, well, I got this new game, Betrayal. It's a board game.
We
it's like,
played
it's kinda
it.
Like
it was
Dungeons
fun.
And Dragons. He's like, you guys want to play.
Bummed I didn't get that invite.
And me and Jared were like, fuck yeah, let's take some mushrooms and play Betrayal. That sounds like a great time. So we did this on this tour. We took mushrooms, and Jake was there,
yep.
right? And me and Jared
and Josh.
Waka and Josh. And we fucking played Betrayal, and it's like a Dungeon Dragon type game. It takes like 3 or 4
you
hours
roll
to
dice
play.
You roll and
dice
things happen
thing. You
fun.
Go through the house and you got to figure out the mystery, and then one guy ends up being the bad guy and he tries to kill everyone else. It was super fun, but Jared, you know, to spice it up, he's like, hey, I want, like, when it's your turn and you make a new room or you go in, it's like, I want you to describe it. Like, so you had to make it up. You're like, I just walked into the library. The library's creepy. It's got spider webs, you know, in the room, and there's, like, a fucking creepy, like, white sheet over a lamp in the corner. And whatever. You had to do that. You had to make the room creepy, and you had to talk about it. Yeah. So then it got to Waka's turn, and he's like, okay, I walk into a room, and there's all these creepy dowels in it. There's dowels everywhere, right? There are all these creepy dowels.
Why are you
and
in
we
a
were
room
like,
full of wooden posts?
Yeah, we're like, what the fuck is a dowel?
We were like, hey,
like,
Christopher,
you know,
Walken, who
like
taught you how to
dowel.
Sing? It was dowels
like
everywhere.
Like a dowel, you know, like a dowel, like a creepy dowel. And we're like, dude,
dowels.
We don't know what dowels are.
Divided.
You know, like a dowel, like a little girl plays with dowels.
Yeah, like a
like
dowel.
A
yeah, you said that.
Like,
little dowel's hair.
A doll? He goes, yeah, dowel. So that's how this all started. We were like, what the fuck
God
is a dowel?
Damn,
bro?
I'm getting upset again.
It's got creepy dowels in it.
Oh, Waka was a very big part of this episode.
Yeah.
I hope he listens.
So we'll tag him.
Thick skin.
Or something. Yeah. All right.
Man. Let us know if you pronounce dolls
all
incorrectly
right. So
out there.
Say doll, not dowel.
What
let
are we
shit
doing,
roll
dude?
Off.
Let shit
Thick
roll
skin,
off.
Man. It's not a big deal. Laugh about it. Make it funny. And be, you know, open to laughing at yourself. Because sometimes people are right.
And mustard package yeah. should be white, too.
Mustard right. package should
I'm
not
sorry.
Be
wait
white.
A minute. Motherfuck.
Mustard
you see now?
Be yellow.
All right. It's a trickle down thing. You see how it poisons a nation?
Yeah.
I've seen things crumble under worse, under less. All right. Are we done? What are we doing?
I think we're done.
What's up with you? What's coming up next? Anything you want to tell the people?
No.
No? Have you found a pool for tomorrow?
I have.
So tell them where they can follow you again.
Bradshaw's The Fun Havers, and there's underscore between every word. Bradshaw's underscore.
Bradshaw's underscore the underscore fun underscore havers to see where you guys will be. Jumping into a body
That's
of
it.
Water next.
That's it.
Please, people, start a
leisure
committee wherever you are with your group of people you work with, or if you're just doing something every day. Even if you're you live in a neighborhood and you're stay-at-home moms
and your husbands are gone every day, and you all get together and smoke some pot or something, right, and laugh. Do something.
And your neighbor's barnboard.
Like, yeah, just fucking leisure committee, dude. Do something every day where you guys meet at a certain
five
time
minutes.
And you do something. If it's 5 minutes, Alex, trust
daddy,
me.
Do something. The baby's sleeping. Smoke some pot. Do something, mom.
Start murdering people. I don't give a shit. Do something.
Go to a trap house, dude.
Don't murder people.
Bradshaw will show up 2 days later and get you out of the trap house. Right. Your kid will be fine.
Yeah, yeah, let me know what you need. I'm there for you.
You got it, dude.
And as always, thank you to everyone at Reamp Studios, cutlassbrand.com. Check it out. Put in code FEELINGGOOD. You're going to get, I think it's like 15 or 20% off. It's a number. And also, this tour is still going on. When you're at the shows, make sure you go out and find the Cutlass booth. And you can pick up Cutlass gear. You can pick up Feeling Good gear. And thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you, Bradshaw, for hanging out.
Thank you,
fucking Jake B, as always.
Yeah.
And this fucking guy over here.
And let's just one more time look at how fucking
put
gross.
The camera at Anthony, dude. Oh, he put his shirt on. Oh, my God. You're still gross, even with your shirt.
Oh,
it just got. Turn the camera off of him. For the listeners, he picked up his shirt and his nipple was exposed. Oh,
my God. And he still has a bag of shit with him. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Oh! Daddy got hit with the shit bag, everyone. Daddy got hit with the shit bag. Anthony's disgusting.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.